Good evening, everybody.
Good evening, everybody.
It is 7 o'clock. It's Wednesday evening on the West Coast of the United States of America. And we are in the 27th week of working our way through the American Book of the Dead by E.J. Gold. When we first began the study, I think I warned everybody that this is a slow reading effort. And the reading is slow because there's a lot of material to cover. And it's not that that there are many, many, many pages, but the depth is what we're working with. And all of this material for the last four or five books has been, how can we make it pragmatic? What can we do to turn it into a pragmatic event for all of us? And we've been doing that. Now, one of the things that we talked about in the last week was, right now we're in the chapters relating to the manifestation of the unresponsive guides. And this has to do with chambers 11 to 17. And one of the opportunities that we offered is for individuals to read to one another. And what we mean by that is that you take a chamber and you have a partner and you read to that partner, and then you allow the partner to read to you. So you get the experience of necessarily being the reader, which there's a whole technology to, but also the experience of being read to. And we're finding some remarkable results because of that. And I'm very interested to see if anybody's had a chance to do that, what they have to do. So you can either, nobody's posting on the website at the moment, but if it's something you'd like to speak to, or it's something you'd like to put in the log, that would be great too. So, you're letting me know when Susan. Yeah, he's having a hard time getting on. Susan isn't on yet, right? As far as you guys can tell.
She doesn't seem to be on the phone, David.
Okay. Okay. Well, she may or may not make it this evening. But in any event, what I wanted to focus on to get us started is really, I want to look at the 14th chamber, okay? I want to get into the 14th chamber because it just reveals so much about what we're doing and where we're going. And so we're going to unwrap the 14th chamber a little bit, see where it goes for us, and then I'd like to see what people, if they actually have had the experience of reading or being read to about the 14th chamber. Were you able to do that, Ivan?
I wasn't.
With Mark? Okay.
Yeah.
Good, because he's a great reader, too. So I just found it such an interesting chamber to read when you put these other glasses on, so to speak, and you're reading it. Don't forget, this is a guidebook, too. One is we see it as a guidebook to read to the voyager who's passed, but it's also weaving throughout this whole experience is, how do I work with this in my everyday life? Because guess what? We are becoming voyagers. We are voyagers. As we stand in the place of the essential self and we start to remove ourselves ever so slightly from the harness of our identification to the human biological machine, we start to emerge as the voyager. Well, everybody asks the question, you know, how do you die before you die? That's in the literature. Not everybody's asking that every day, but let's just say it's in the literature a lot. And the question is, you got to work at it. And this is a guidebook as to how to do that. So the American Book of the Dead gives us a lot of important hints as to how to do that. We have some people that are very skilled at that, and we want to learn some of those skills, and I think we're going to see some hints today. So the 14th chamber opens itself up, and it says, now, that's like an instruction you're getting, right? Now, first of all, in this low place. Oop, okay, well, there you go. I see that through the power of negative tendencies and habits of primate life and organic sleep, I allowed feelings of panic to rule me. Okay, that's in past tense. Right? I see that I allowed that to occur. So when is it that that occurred? So this is designed to read to the Voyager, right, who's passed away, who's in transit in the Bardos, and in a sense you're helping the Voyager orient. I see that I allowed. What is the Voyager referring to? What is this referring to?
The reference states primate life and organic sleep.
So when I was
right,
in,
while you had a body.
While I had a body, I noticed that I allowed the feelings of panic to rule me, reacting to my deepest fears and feelings of irony and profound dismay. That because of this, the guide of the Order of the Lotus has emerged from the western quarter of the labyrinth, taking a dim, sinister shape over the face of the beloved, separating us as a mask separates the face behind the form. I thought that was just beautiful.
Yes. I, at the beginning of the sentence, and remember mm-hmm. it's one sentence, it's one complete thought, if you guys are English lit majors, one sentence, one complete thought. And at the end, it is plural, us.
Separating us.
Yes.
As a mass separates.
Yes.
So here's just from a, I don't know how much the author was thinking about this when he wrote, but structurally, it's me in a certain way at the beginning, and
yes.
then it starts to move into an objectivity
mm-hmm.
of, oh, this is how it works.
Mm-hmm.
Then the next paragraph is just stirring. I make the conscious decision to thoroughly enjoy the apparition. To consciously, okay, dig it. That's what the guy's saying, right? Check it out, baby. Whatever it is, recognizing it to be a projection of my own expectations. That's what it's saying. That's very interesting. My own expectations in the Bardos, in the macro dimensions, now here's the thing, as an experienced labyrinth voyager, I know not to react suddenly, no matter how startling, unexpected, or repulsive the apparition. As recognition of my own thought forms dawns upon me, liberation also comes. So what happened here? What's this guy doing?
It is a triple transformation. It's a triple transformation. First it says, I make a conscious decision, so that's the will of the being under the circumstances of the Bardo. Secondly, it says there is a recognition of what is laying out. Thirdly, it is the remembrance of the experienced voyager not to react, as in the Voyager's quatrain. I do not react. And because of those three elements described succinctly, separately, and together, liberation comes.
So let me ask you something here, Pat.
Me?
I'm asking you. Tell me, what does this mean? How do I become... It says here, I thoroughly enjoy the apparition. I make the conscious decision?
Yes.
So I was, I had a meeting with a client today, and I was starting to get a little ramped up about this guy.
Hot under the collar?
I was hot under the collar. And... What does this apply to that?
As any experienced labyrinth voyager such as yourself knows, everything applies. There's not a single solitary event in your life, dream state, waking, sleeping, or whatever, that does not apply to that. That's the point.
So then when it says here, as an experienced labyrinth voyager, I know not to react suddenly,
mm-hmm.
no matter how startling this guy was.
Yeah, or repulsive. Yeah.
Yeah, repulsive kind of fits
repulsive,
in there.
Repulsive, yeah. Or unexpected. That's the one we think we're excluded from. It's like, oh, well, I was surprised. So, you know, I didn't know that's what was going to happen. So I didn't have my... You know, I wasn't awake, I wasn't aware. My Voyager consciousness was in the sleeping package behind me here. And so, I it's not my fault because I didn't know it was going to happen.
So it's an excuse.
Duh.
It was unexpected.
Yeah. Yeah.
I reacted to it because it was unexpected.
So I'm off the hook. Now, this says exactly and specifically, I know. It's not I think or I feel or I remember. It's I know. I used to tell people, this is the thing that you can rely on. If you remember the sound of your mother calling your name, and there's nothing else in the universe like that, your mother calling your name, you know that. That's the level of knowingness we're talking about. That knowing. You know? That's the knowing we're talking about.
So if I'm hearing you right, which I'm not sure if I am, but I think so when I have those like reactions of unexpected, repulsion, all these other things, that's a trigger. That could act as that itself is a trigger to, I know not to react.
I see my reaction to something of this type to be the sign that I've already done it. It's occurred. So what I need to do is take that as a trigger to myself to be more awake before that happens. Because if I see this, if I've reacted suddenly, if I've reacted in any manner, I've already lost it. So it's before you react where you have the potential to recognize that it's your own thought form and allow liberation to come.
So in my case, before it became a full-blown dance, I started to see myself going in this direction. And I just used the practice of not reacting, which I'm going to get into in a minute.
Sure.
Right?
Yes.
And as soon as that occurred, suddenly the whole thing was like, became a tableau.
Yes.
It was just, that's the picture of
right.
Which was odd to me. It was an unusual, it was But here I was watching this play unfold in front of me.
Right, you get the experience of the fourth window, which they used to talk about in television, or the fourth wall, where if you stepped back from involvement, you're still involved, but you're not. You've stepped out of the scenario. So, you're leading into the recipe about uninvolvement.
Well, what I'm trying to do, and I'm overemphasizing in a certain way, how we get involved, how we get caught in these things. But then we have these great tools. That's my point. We have these wonderful tools that we can turn to, and we're practicing, practicing, and practicing. One of the chambers, and somebody will pick it out, it says, now I remember the teaching. It's in one of these sections of chambers. Now I remember the teaching. Whatever happens, I remember the teaching. Okay? Once I was on the phone with Silverdale, and we were on with somebody who was having one of the colleagues up in Seattle. We had a big reaction to something I was doing. And his answer was simply, what chapter of practical work on self are you using right now?
Yeah.
And of course, the answer was none. I just want to be angry. Okay. So we have a lot of tools that we're developing here. Our job as, because we're so lucky, Pat, we're so lucky that we're reading this material and we're preparing, in a sense, we're preparing for what's going to happen. We know it's going to happen, right?
Well, there's a deepening of what we experience on a, quote, daily basis that gives us the opportunity to dip in to the language of the ABD, for instance, now in this low place. That's an emotional state, that's a physical state, that's a cosmological state, that's an organic state, however you want to name it. Now, in this low place, we reference ourselves outside of ourselves to ourselves. It gives us orientation. It's an orienting tool as well as a guide and a map and all those other things. It keeps saying, now, here.
So what we need to, when we bring the objective of reading this material back and forth to one another is that it creates a reminding factor on a very deep level so that there's something else responding, so that there's an essential response, that there's at least a chance of that. So we get into these environments that we're in right now. We begin to get into these environments together. And what happens is we're washed, in a sense, with the environment.
Mm-hmm.
We're washed by that.
Mm-hmm.
And we allow ourselves to be washed by it. After a while, when we become a little more experienced as voyagers, not only do we allow ourselves to be comfortably in the space, but then we start to look around as well. And we start to see our fellow voyagers. We look at our fellow voyagers and we say, well, who's there? Who is on this team right now? And last week we had an unusual experience, one that I hadn't been in, period. And that's that we got a call. Susan, are you on? Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Yeah. And we, Susan was in the hospital at the time when she was on the phone. But she's come home now. You're home, right?
Yeah, I came home Thursday night. So I was
Thursday night. But while she's in the hospital, we were moved to interact with her in a certain way. And then the space provided a certain guidance at that time to pass.
It felt to me that I was there and you all as a group asked me, what can you do? You said, we're here. What can we do for you? And
right.
That recommended the clear light reading. And I was talking about the symptoms, which is the clear light is part of that. So it just naturally led into it, into the clear light reading.
Right. Yeah, and so what was it like when people were doing that reading? When you know, there were a number of people here physically that were participating in that reading. And
Right. Actually,
I wanted to ask the people that were online, when Pat was reading, for the people that were not on the phone, were you also reading? Okay, but just before you answer, Susan, I want to get that out, okay?
What do you mean, were they also reading out loud?
Were they out reading? So in other words, we read through the obligatory reader's invocation, and then we read the clear light prayer, clear light reading. And did you read, were you reading, even though you weren't on the phone, because I could hear Harry, and I think I was hearing George.
Vadir said yes.
Who?
Vadir.
So Vadir was actually at her post, physically reading.
And Gnostic Man. Said
was Gail
read.
With him, Gnostic Man?
It said we read. It felt like a powerful connection.
Okay, so Gail was there too. Go ahead.
That's what I have so far. Plus, there were people in the room there.
Yeah, the people, there were several people in the room. But I'm just also wondering, like the deer, you know, yes, I
know,
I
did. Shikoba?
Shikoba, yeah.
Yes.
Formally.
Nothing saying yes, Gail was there.
Thank you. I wanted to know that she also is actually reading. I have a point to all this of why I'm asking. Is Pat Grobon?
Northiana was reading.
Of course. Yeah.
David?
Hey. Yeah.
David, I was not reading. I was driving, so I was just holding space.
Okay, so this is why I wanted to hear. So Chikoba is telling us, no, I wasn't reading. Wasn't able to read, but she did what she could do, which is to hold the space, which is an active something that we can do as individuals. Okay? Anybody else?
Simon and Pathworld. Well, Pathworld.
And what was their answer?
Well, Simon said, yes, I was reading too. And
okay.
Pathworld said, yes, I'm here.
Yes, I'm here. I wanted to know if she was there. And I'm particularly wanted to know whether she was there. I have a particular reason for that, which I'm not going to get into at the moment. But so in a sense, we took the formation. Don't forget, we are many individuals together, but we're also one thing, okay? We're one entity that holds, as Shikoba was telling us, the space. That thing was there to present something to Susan.
Gapalez says he's holding the space.
Okay, thank you. So in the future, if we're going to do this again, which we might, but you know, not right now, but if we do it in the future, consider reading, those that are able to, are not in the position like driving or something like that, and you're able to read, see what it feels like to do that, to be part of the one voice. And that's okay. Okay, so then so Susan, what was your response to people for the reading that was going on? What was your response?
The initial response was to just the offering of, we're here for you, what do you need? There wasn't, you know, I mean, Pat had a suggestion, but it was so clearly not something thrust on me. It was an asking, what do you need? And so that was great. And then
Pat, he's more directly into the phone.
I think Pat had a bell, which was very effective and special. But it seemed to me like there were a lot of people reading. I mean, it felt like, for sure, at least 20 people reading strongly. And it was like...
But I heard people say that they weren't reading, that there was like maybe two or three other people reading.
Well, no, there was more than that.
I mean, there was like, I think there were like six or seven of us here.
Eight.
There were eight of us here, but that's still not 20.
But it was strong. The voices were strong in unison. And like I said, it felt like a choir. And it felt like the angelic choir at times.
David, I felt there were many people reading and people were waiting to coordinate with the other voices.
And it seemed to go back, like there were back parts that supported the front parts.
Good. Wow.
I don't know what that means.
Very good. That's the Shakova thing, by the way.
Right. So in a visual, I could see, like, the first group clearly faces, and, of course, I don't really even know a lot of the faces of our group mates. I know some. But the first grouping was really clear, and then the second grouping was still darkish, but less features, like less facial features. And then as it would go back, it would get lighter, and yes, less facial, but still there in support, strongly.
Okay.
So I don't know, it had so many elements of like the sound and the singing, and it felt like it was practiced for years.
It has been practiced for years. Just in our little group here, when did we, where's it, Pat World, when did we start the, you asked me to do the HBM. These things take like a year and a half per book.
And she has a good comment.
What did she say?
She said, it made me cry. I need a lot of the help right now. So she was able, it sounds like she was able to be helped. And she's saying 4 years ago to your question.
But we've been doing this just as this little group for about 4 years.
Right.
At least.
Yeah, I actually think it was at least could be a little bit longer. But bottom line of it is that this is the tool that we've woven together. And then one of our members says, hey. And Pat is an expert at asking the question, the manner in which she does it, you know, what would you like? Or,
right.
There's a tonality that is not imposing. It's like absolute objectivity.
And I think I had mentioned what I wanted, and Harry and I had been working on it as well. And I don't know whether it's just the stage I am in the illness. Because you mentioned that, because I keep going back to the first reading 1-5.
That's great.
And and you mentioned that that's because that's the symptom. And so, of course, that is what I would identify with because I'm still sitting here with the body. And so when I hear the symptoms, it's where I'm at.
So what Susan is referring to are, the, in a sense, the first 5 readings called Symptoms 1-5. Is that right?
Yeah, I think.
That is right.
And it's just, mm-hmm. just a small grouping of things to look for as indicators is part of it. And I don't know what that means, is having, seeing these indicators in my life, does that, I don't know, I don't, see, even with all of this, I still hate to ask. Does that mean I'm even closer? So and the answer obviously is yes.
Well, we don't know the answer to that, but we do know that there's more clarity.
Well, I am closer to dying, whether that means timely or not. I'm just touching the subject on a very deep level, and it's very real. But there's not necessarily a time element.
Yeah, this is not a time thing.
That's a very eloquent statement that you're making, that you are touching it on a deeper personal level, which means that it is not just about the book or the words or the concepts, but it's internally yours.
Right.
Silverdale?
Yeah.
We were talking about some of this material last couple of days, and you said something about, you described Susan in a certain way. Do you remember?
Yes, I do. What I was saying was that the value of Susan's participation in our group is her sheer authenticity. She is experiencing personally the material that we're studying related to death and dying. To, you know, this kind of a study can become very theoretical. Susan becomes an anchor for each of us to imagine or to perhaps better understand our own participation in these events.
So,
thank you, George. That's good.
Thank you, George.
I look about at the landscape that we're in and what has been presented to us, What is in our fold? Pardon?
A guinea pig.
And thank you so much, Susan, for helping all of us.
Well, you're welcome. I mean, it's...
You're not the only one.
Good to be useful. To even in a time like this, I can find a way to be useful.
Excellent.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Excellent.
And I think there's another important extension of the conversation we were having earlier about how touched you were by all the people reading together last week,
right,
which is the remembrance that we're all actually one essential self, which is separated into individual cells. And so as we participate here together, we're hearing the authenticity of your voice resonating throughout the whole of ourself as a unicellular being.
Right, like a slime mold.
That's, yeah.
Is Mark Rocha.
As a slime mold, there are certain qualities of communication, and let us call it memberness, which is the slime mold is always aware of itself, but not necessarily aware of its individual self. So it has its consciousness of the entirety, but not necessarily each uniquely. So if we put
for me, it's like I have this entity that's part of me now.
That's right. You do.
Living its life through me, eating me parasitically.
Yep.
Cancer, and somehow it's part of me. There's just all these different parts.
You know, and if I can interrupt for just a moment, Susan, when you and I were having a conversation earlier this week, I pointed out the contrast between Neville Throckmorton's passing away here recently. Now, Neville was tied up with his business. He lives, of course, at a distance, and he was doing what he could do, and then he passes away, but without any of us benefiting from the totality of his experience. Susan, we're so grateful to have you here sharing your experience with us.
Well.
Yes.
Well.
There's,
I'm going to interrupt you, because for me, I appreciate so deeply the support and love that I feel. And the reading the other day, I mean, I just wanted to thank you and acknowledge you by the appreciation. I mean, as you read to me, I was crying, but I wasn't like sobbing or crying. I was just there, laying there, and the tears just flowed out. Not like a particular sadness or any. It was just, they just flowed.
You were kind of leaking.
Yeah. And it just, it was such a deep experience. So anyway, I wanted to make sure that you know how much that meant to me.
There,
I do, because we've done this here for members in the community, especially among some of us women that have had various illnesses over the, decades, and we've had our circle together, and I do know that it has the potency. It's what occurred by sound among us last week, and by resonance, and also by empathy. We were united, and this is something that carries on. I mean, that was the manifestation of it, but that quality is still there for all of us to tap into, especially you, Susan, because you have recognized the effect of it for yourself, but also for all of the other people who are participants and part of this, whatever we want to call this particular formulation that we have here. It is something that is available to all.
To everybody. So
everybody.
So.
And thank you, Susan, for speaking with us. It's just, it's great to hear you talk, and it's wonderful to hear your energy level sufficient to be able to communicate with us about this. And anytime you get tired, just, we won't bug you.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay? You don't have to continue to be there if you're tired. It's okay.
I see. Okay. I'll keep that in mind. It actually gives me more energy than not.
Right. Wonderful.
I had two other things I wanted to say.
Okay.
One of them is how lucky I am. Not that I'm lucky to get cancer, but lucky that I get such a wake-up call that I'm able to use these years actually wrapping things up, actually doing what I've always said I wanted to do. I mean, I have, it's so silly, I do have a bucket list. And one of the things on my bucket list is to have a clean, well-organized house with my paperwork filled in. And so knowing this information, it's like I know if I don't do the paperwork, I'm simply going to be leaving it for someone else to do, which is what my mother did to us. And she left us 4 storage rooms that we had to deal with at a young age, and it was a drag.
It was a drag.
So I get to clean that up for myself. And that the weird thing is that I got in a car wreck years ago. I could have easily died then, but I wouldn't have the benefit of the time of knowing now or never. Whatever you walk out of the house looking like is what it's going to look like. One day.
Very good.
And, you know, it's like, and still, with how weird the world is, I could die from a car wreck.
Yeah.
And it'd be, ironic. It'd be like, wait a minute. So there's
What did the thing say in that second paragraph there?
Oh, the second paragraph.
We're about, I make a...
Chamber 14.
Yeah.
I make the conscious decision to thoroughly enjoy this apparition, recognizing it to be the projection of my own expectations here in the macro dimensions.
So is this not what this individual is doing? This person, this individual part of this group essential self, consciously
providing us with a guinea pig?
That's one element of it, but consciously working on the project of how do I want to design this thing, right?
All the way up to designing my memorial.
Yes.
And I'm actually doing that, and I've actually gone to a funeral home and gone through everything down to coffee and cookies.
Well, we'll be having that for you in the ashram as well. Just remember, we need the duplicate list of the refreshments for the ashram.
What you really need is the duplicate list of the songs that are important.
Yeah.
Definitely. And also, if I may please put in my personal request, last week when I was sending out the communication about the reading cycle for you, I did not have what I consider an acceptable photograph. I don't know where you have one, but if you could put one somewhere that I could get to it and send it out to the readers.
I just took a few, and I think they're okay. And
okay, good.
I just may end starting new chemo tomorrow, and it's a harsher one than I've been on. And so...
Yeah, me on that email, too, Susan. Well, you don't think you have pets. You were going to make 2 points. Did you make the second point?
No.
And, okay.
I wanted to make sure I got a list of that reading cycle, Pat, because I don't think I did get that.
I will get you the communication that I sent. My communication is to the readers that get the notification by email, and it's not the one that goes through the readings in the Second Life. So I can send you a copy of that.
I was in the hospital, so.
Right, you need to get everything, yeah.
Yeah.
The just as a side note before you get, today, I think Marvette, Nortiana, I think there was a reading circle for Susan,
yes.
About 2:30, 2:40, something like that. How did that go for the people, the participants were there? I think Nortiana never, I think, sleeps. I don't think she ever goes to bed.
No.
Because I think she was there.
I was online with her 12 hours ago this morning.
And
Nortiana was gone from the keyboard. She just came back.
Okay. I was just
she
asking the question, Nortiana. How did it go? Marvette, you might have a comment, or how did it go? What was the space like? And there's a comment that I'm going to repeat that Marvette made about it, but first, if Nortiana has anything. Or anybody else who was there. Somebody else might have been there that...
Well, Mark Roach said, and this is not... He said, given this discussion, EJ's book, The Great Adventure... probably relevant.
Thank you.
And then Nortiana said healing circle.
Healing circle,
yes.
Okay.
I went on tonight and I didn't know where to go. I kind of walked around and I thought, wonder where I'm supposed to go.
I think one of the things that occurred was that because they didn't know whether you'd be around or not, somebody made a avatar for you and placed it in the...
Wait, wouldn't that be weird to walk up on unknowingly?
Yeah, you'd walk up and get to meet yourself.
Mm-hmm. I saw my name, and I wondered about that. I thought... Wait, there's another person.
That was you.
But I could stick myself in for real.
So, can you send somebody a link And then later when they come on, if they do come on, they get that link?
Yeah, it will be saved in there.
That's Susan. There's a picture of her.
Thank you. Yes, I've got that one.
Okay.
Good.
So if you have her name, send her the proper link, and then when she goes on, she'll get it. And then she.
Well, I'm friends with Tammy, Molly Midway. I don't think Pat.
She's friends with you.
Yeah.
And me.
And
Susie Q.
Susie Q.
She said Penny.
Susie Q. How do you
spell
Susie Q?
Is it, how do you spell Susie Q? S U.
S U capital Z small Q U E. There's a second one that has like two S's, and that's not mine. I decided.
Susan, can others of us have access to your photo also?
You're the person I'm trying to get the photo for. And so
you know what?
So I'll be sharing your photo with them. So, yes.
Thank you.
Okay, go on, David.
Can I, what do you think about me posting your photo on your,
avatar.
Not on your avatar, on the Wings of Chaos, Last Hours of Life posting that you did?
That would be fine, and I would also, if be willing to put my email address and Second Life, I don't mind talking by the phone, but I'm risky whether I
right.
have the energy at that moment or not.
So you're offering for people, if they'd like to speak with you, that that's okay?
I would love it. I mean,
she'd love it, she said.
I just, like, when I heard all those voices. Those
it's risky. You might not know when she has the energy, but that's
she's
okay.
She's talking about when she heard all those voices.
Go ahead.
When I heard all those voices and realized how many people are there, I just thought, wow, you guys want to, why don't you come out and play? And I'm loving doing
Mountain
the reading.
Everybody.
Email me, and I'll email you back. And if for some reason I don't email you back, you can bother me. And
if you don't have her email, you can send it to me, and then I'll pass it on to her. If you want to get in touch with her, and then
great,
we'll do it that way.
Because I feel so close to my group.
Yes.
My group.
Yeah.
Yes.
And we also have comments.
Go ahead.
Comments good.
Comments good. So, Nortiana says, today we had a healing circle. Yesterday we read for Susan and Angela. Yesterday the readings went really well. Excuse me, really well. Although it seemed very needed, the readings, and it felt good to read more than the usual. Mark Roach said maybe this was already discussed when my computer was offline, but in case not, the reason for the comment about the great adventure is that there is a chapter in there about a group coming together around the necessity of a particular individual and how it came to be beneficial for all.
Thank you.
Good.
And one more. That's actually a very sweet comment, Mark.
okay.
Because it's seemingly for me, and he's saying it's actually affecting everyone else.
It is. Would you agree, Path World, that it affects everybody else? She's still on.
I don't know. I'll read the other comment while we wait.
Go ahead.
Vidya said on Thursday we dedicated the Book of Sacraments reading to Susan. Thank you,
okay.
Vidya. And Catherine answered and said yes.
Good. The comment that Marvette made, and help me if I missed it,
mm-hmm.
is that when she was in that group too, and when she was doing the reading or listening to the reading, it keyed off what she needed to know.
Yeah.
Okay? That space helped her click into what she needed to know at that time. It's
focus.
It's not a reading, it's a meditation.
So the space
itself, the fact and opportunity of focusing on her brought that forth for her, for Marvette. Which then she was able to use in her subsequent effort later in the afternoon. Okay.
So that's all our comments for now.
Okay.
The comments that people have made today, it's interesting to me that as we have worked with these chambers individually and then in twos and now in the group focus, that we actually have a greater capacity to link and weave our shared knowledge and understanding and skill level together, which augments it for everyone. So
right.
this is the effect of group capacity. It means that the I can't remember that thing that happens with, you know, when it goes past the three, it's a power. Anyway,
exponential.
It has an exponential effect. So in the same manner that mathematically this works in you know, physics and other things, in the reading chamber, when there is a reading that is done by one, it is heard by all. And that is for you to ponder this week as we continue to do readings for each other and with each other.
Say
and
that
receive
again.
Them.
Say that
a
again.
A reading that is done for one is heard by all.
Okay. Again.
A reading which is done for one is heard by all. So we may address the reading to the benefit of Susan Kester and all beings everywhere, because the effect is heard by all.
Harry, are you still online there?
I am.
What is the beginning of the Bible, the first few words?
Oh, my goodness.
In the beginning.
The New Testament or the Old Testament?
Old Testament. Brother.
In the beginning was the Word.
In the beginning was the Word? No.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word
Genesis.
Was God.
That's
yes.
Genesis.
That is Genesis,
that's
the one.
Step one. And so
yes.
In the beginning was the Word.
Word.
Yes,
it
is.
And all
I've got
of
it
them.
Sitting on my table right now. I'm
going to
call you up.
We can have a conversation as
but
to
the
what's
point
in
is
Genesis
this.
1-1.
The point is this, is that what Pat was saying, which we're going to get back to that moment and let the mental chatter go, I'm going to ask her to repeat it one more time if she's able to.
A reading which is addressed to one is heard by all. A reading which is given to one is heard by all. A reading that is for one is heard by all.
This is the vibratory effect of the essential self coming through, as George said. Well, how did you put it again?
Well, we are all one essential self, and we experience ourselves individually within the whole.
Of course it's heard by all. Susan?
Yes.
Did you have a second point that you'd like to share with us?
I did, and I might think of it someday.
Okay. Well, we're going to put it on hold, and it's okay. It'll come back when it's supposed to, all right?
Right.
One of the things I wanted to say is that in a certain way, I don't want to be mundane about this, though. When help, I hate to use this term, but I can't think of a better one. When help is asked for, it's like the universe responds.
Or when you need whatever you need, you get right at the time.
Yeah. So
only you could relax.
So just know that all of us should know, even though it's hard to understand, we're not alone in a certain way here. We are together. We have this group to call on. We'll go back to our own.
I might have felt the least alone of ever in my life.
Speak into the phone, please.
I said the other day with the reading, I might have felt least alone than I've ever felt. Really, because there were powers going on that were so deep, it was like being cradled in this love and support and this deep encouragement and this...
Yeah. And she picked the back tone, too. The back tone of that choir singing, there's a back tone to it, and she's also able to pick that up. And that partly is the role that Grant and Shacoba were holding. Okay.
Wow.
So...
One more comment for
go
you,
ahead.
Susan. When you verbalize and express as comes from you genuinely, it makes possible the elucidation from the group about what we're working with. For instance, I had no prior formulation in my brain or mentation or any other place that I could think of that statement about when it
one
is for one, it is heard by all. I had none of that was configured. So we've had a principle practice in the Institute for a decade, which is called the birthday question. And the birthday question is a privilege. And it's a right, but it is also a responsibility that if a person is allowed to sit with EJ on their birthday and ask a question, it generally speaking is one that is for all. So as much as you are able to, and I mean this only as much as you're able to, do more than you can, but as much as you are able to speak and respond in how it's going for you and how it affects you, the readings by others and the readings in the various forms that we're doing them, it's of immediate impact for the whole group. It's the best possible learning modality there is. The teaching moment or, you know, one of those things if you're in...
Is that kind of selfish?
No, absolutely not. It's the absolute
opposite
of selfish. It is the highest essential honor that you are doing for the group to bring to the group what is of the most necessity for you and offer it for the benefit of the group.
Remember,
it's the highest.
Remember George's comment, the authenticity of it, the power of the authenticity. Harry, do you know Latin?
A very little, David, only enough to get into trouble.
Okay, I'm going to try to get you in a little bit of trouble here. The statement in the United States is what, e pluribus unum?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yes, out of many, one.
Pardon?
Out of many, one. I mean.
And if you flip that, and if it's e unum pluribus, what would that mean?
From the one.
Out of one many.
From the many is one.
I think that captured the sentiment of what Pat was instructing us with.
You know, it's interesting.
Go ahead. No.
The word logos is word, and it's used that way in all of the scripture and except one place. Most of the time, logos, which means the spoken word. But there is also rhema, which is in Peter, I believe, where it means the speaking word, not the one that's already been said. And from the beginning, apparently, everything had been said. But as we experience it personally, we are experiencing the speaking word, or rhema, the one that has personal magic that is contagious.
So then we start to have a sense of the responsibility and opportunity we have as readers and being read to. And not...
But I have a...
Go ahead.
What about everybody else? I mean...
Speak into the phone. What do you mean about, what do you mean everybody?
Well, I'm just fighting back tears at the offering in the words of Pat. And I wonder about,
that's good.
Everybody's got shit.
Yeah.
And so.
How do we discover the path? We see how someone else has walked it, and then we consider, maybe I can also do that.
And who am I to deserve?
You just are it. You tag your it, sister. That's just it. That's just how it worked out in this particular formulation, okay? You happen to call 4 years ago and say, is anything going on? And you got hooked into this wagon, didn't you?
And I don't mind sharing any of it. I'm not hooked by any of it. I'm not even particularly grossed out by body issues and gross things that are happening to me. But I try to keep that to a minimum, except to whoever wants a little fun. But, I don't know. I would love to share. I just feel like I also want to take care of the needs of everyone else in our group.
Well,
I know what you're going to say, which you are.
No,
I wasn't going to say
we're
that.
We're not going to say that at all. Here's the thing. When your reactions to this particular moment are set aside in that larger way that you have the capacity for, like the hearing of the choirs of angels, you will have no particular response to whether you are being used or of service or of value to the group or not over anyone else. because there isn't a significance to it. It is of value and it is of use, and it is not of any concern whether it's from you or from, say someone's name over there, Mr. Daniel, please. Say someone's name, please. Grant. I could name any name, and it would have a certain individuality, as Silverdale describes for us eloquently, a, what does he call it?
One essential self.
One essential self that is of the totality, and the individualness of each self
expressed individually
has no particular significance to the totality. It just happens to be, as David puts it so nicely, you're it for the moment.
Well, I'm fine being in. I'm totally.
I know.
But yeah. I guess what I need in my historical personality has a real charge about knowing if things are okay. And so I hear you and trust you, and I'm wondering, I guess I wonder what the group thinks. Do they feel this? I mean, I really do. A couple of words, because I'm insecure and I don't want to take up a lot of time if it's not what's truly in the best use of the group time.
Yes, and that's very well stated. And I think what would be a useful method of this quality of our dying, which you are not alone in this aspect.
Right.
This is one of the ones that people can get hung up on, which is they don't want to be a bother or whatever other formulation comes up.
Right.
It could be stated on the website that Wings of Chaos allows for a generalized question to be offered for the group, something along the lines of, in what way am I willing to, quote, be a bother to the group? Because if you can objectify the situation as, I'm the one that's at the moment the bother, how I see it, whatever wording you want to put on there, each one of us can respond from our own experience. And that way the group can take use of this particular aspect, which is very, very, Ivan's shaking his head over here. I know Ivan's been through it a number of times.
No.
Yeah?
Oh, being it?
No, I mean
being part of the group.
Yeah.
Well, actually, I just wanted to say to Susan that I just thought of what David was quoting from the first words of the Bible. Oh, you want? Okay.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah. Of course.
Since quotes are always good. I was recalling, Susan, just like David was quoting in the beginning, at the very end of one of EJ's books, he takes a quote from I forget where, which is, narrow is the way, and straight is the gate, which people usually think means straight, like a straight line, but it's straight, means very
challenging.
It's very confined. It's very not an easy way, path to follow. It's not easy to get on that path, and it's not easy to stay on it, and so on. And I think this is the marvelous thing for us is that for each one of us alone, that really applies. Narrow is the way and straight is the gate. But to be able to have this opportunity to get together in a circle as a group of people, you know, doing this together, whether it's in Second Life or in Team Fortress or Healing Circle or this, you know, having a class once a week, it's just an incredible thing, actually. I think it's a kind of a marvel, like it's a slime mold,
right.
You know, uprising or something. So I think that's part of what we're talking about. Like for me to go home and just read the ABD or think about, gee, I'm going to die one day too. I'm in this place which is that narrow is the way and straight is the gate, and I could get in a panic about it. But
right.
I feel quite differently when we're in this circle here.
Right. Yeah. We feel quite differently because suddenly we begin to see, because of others' exampleship, we begin to see maybe that's available to me. Maybe all speak forth.
Well, right. And we would talk to anybody.
Anybody that would like to speak forth. But everybody has the same barrier and burdens of, oh, mine's not that important, or, gosh,
right.
You know, I think I would be bothering the group. So,
but we had actually quite a few comments.
Do you want to read some of them? Or?
Yeah, and it is, I don't know what time it is.
We're a couple minutes over.
We're going to go with the comments even though we're...
Yeah, we're running over.
Well, yeah, so a couple people had to go, but anyway, there's a few comments.
Go for it.
Okay. Mark Roach said, there's a nice tagline in one of Norton Street video episodes. Tag, you're it.
Right.
Yep.
What's that?
Yes, correct.
Antimatter. Susan, we are grateful for your gift of necessity to us.
Yeah.
Gapalez, I'm not sure.
Can't hear you.
It's been a very special session, and I really want to thank Susan.
Speak right into the phone, Susan.
Silverdale said, in the heart of the great central sun, we are one, only in the here and now are we differentiated. Then Melissa Lorca says, I agree. Thank you, Susan. Mark Roach says, I gotta go. Happy campers, best wishes, Susan and all. And then Gapalez says, yes, well put, Ivan. Feel differently about the whole process of dying when we're here with the group.
Indeed.
So I guess it's stupid to be insecure. But that's what we're working on, figuring out why we're so dumb as humans.
Well, when you
have been working on this one, and I'd be willing to share whatever anyone wants to hear.
I would like to do it for lines when we finish.
So we'll continue this conversation for a while longer. I strongly advise that you look carefully at these chambers that we're talking about, 14, 15, 16. 17 is a big meal. But go ahead and read 17 as well. And in a sense, get yourself in that space. If you have somebody to read to and to be read to yourself, take that opportunity. Take that up. It's worth the effort to do it. You'll get a lot from it, both from giving and receiving in this case.
Right, it's true.
And so we will we'll call it an end of the class then for right now, and then we'll go ahead and close the space with the four lines.
Imagine that you have your ringy dingy. Here it is.
All
phenomena
is illusion, neither
attracted
nor held, not
making
any sudden moves.
My habits
will carry me through.
Thank you for coming tonight. We'll see you next week.